Okay, then I won't curse my phone.
We're glad you're joining us. Thank you.
Well, honestly, like I said, I apologize for being late. The phone is not cooperating and working from home. This is our last week of doing that. We're going to put the whole staff back together at State Bank starting Monday. So, anyway. All right, so are we ready? Who do we have on the line?
You want to start with the Board of Adjustment members and then anyone from the public? Board of Adjustment, staff, and then public?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do it this way. Let's call the meeting to order. Roll call those, Stephanie, for all those Board of Adjustment members that are here.
McGill.
Here.
Brecky.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
Okay, since we're conducting this on a telephone situation, also, would any members of the public that are here listening in, please identify yourself, give your name and address, so we've got it for the record. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not very sound to me. I'm Andrew Friend, 161 Pleasant Fire, I'll give that money to Surrey City.
It's Jeffrey Maskey, 301-77-597-98, Cambridge, Iowa.
Chuck Fisher, 1100 Adams Street, Ames.
Okay.
Rob Bowers, 2519 Osborne Drive, Ames, Iowa.
All right, any other?
Yeah, Tom Hackett with the Ames Fire Department, Nick Lenny with the Surrey County Sheriff's Office, and Steve Holmes with Raycon, representing the StoryCon group, along with Rob Bowers.
Gina McKenna from the StoryCon group is also on the line.
Okay. Others? All right, hearing none, I'm assuming we've got you all. Would ask that when you speak, when we ask for comments, you again identify yourself so we make sure we've got it on the record. Let's see, in front of you, adjustment members, are the minutes from our previous meeting. Do I hear any additions or subtractions?
Hey, Steve, this is Jerry. Could you just read just that first sentence of the reason why we're doing it this way because of COVID-19? Thank you.
Will do. Okay, the due to recommendations for limited gatherings to no more than 10 people in order to help slow the spread of COVID-19 virus, public access to the meeting will be provided via conference call to listen and participate in the meeting. Members of the public who would like to call in, you may dial 918-221-0224 and enter 222-5929-465-pound when prompted for the access code. We ask that you mute your phone if possible. Audio recordings of all board meetings will be posted on our website at www.storycountyiowa.gov shortly after the meeting is concluded. You may access these recordings at any time by clicking on the meeting and agenda buttons on the home page. Any questions on that? If not, we'll return, like I said, the minutes from our previous meeting on April 15th are in front of the board. Do I hear any additions or subtractions? Now I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
So
Motion to accept the minutes as written.
Randy will second.
Motion out of Newbauer, second out of Brecky. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay, minutes are accepted. Find also in front of you, board, we have the findings of fact from the previous meeting. Documents finding of fact for CUP 02-90.6, Mark Marietta, and CUP 2-20, the Isaac Walton Lee. Do I hear a motion to accept the findings of fact on both of these?
Ricky will make a motion to accept.
And Newbauer seconds.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, coming down the agenda, like I said, it's a little unusual. Jerry, feel free to chime in anytime you want to chime in, something we may have missed. We're going into the way the meeting is generally conducted. If anyone of the public that has comments on any other item other than that that's in front of us, please feel free to do so at this time. Once we've had an opportunity to do that, we will take a look at the two conditional use permit applications in front of us this afternoon. We will deliberate. We will allow the both public and the presenters to give their presentations, and then the board will deliberate and we'll give you an answer, hopefully, as you leave. On that note, I will ask, are there any comments out of the public or anyone listening in that has nothing to do with, in other words, if it has anything to do with anything other than the three that we're talking about this afternoon?
Steve, this is Amelia Schoenemann, planner. I just had a quick note on that. There was a notice sent out for a Windstream broadband communications co-location antenna on another tower, I believe near Cambridge. That item was placed on hold by the applicant, so it is not on tonight's agenda. They did send a corrective notice out, but if anyone is on to the Windstream broadband communication co-location for the property at 5973235th Street in Cambridge, that is not on the agenda tonight. And will be on the agenda once the applicant takes that off hold.
All right. Thank you.
Somebody had a public comment on that. I guess it wouldn't be on tonight's agenda for them to make during that hearing.
All right. Thank you, Amelia. Then I guess what we're ready to do is listen to there's three permit applications, CUP 0320, CUP 0420, and CUP 0520. Could start three separate communication towers. Amelia, you're up.
Yes. So this is a StoryCom project, which is a legal entity created through a 28-year agreement between the City of Ames, Story County, and the Story County 911 Service Board and Iowa State University. They are proposing three communications towers to provide two-way radio for emergency services and public works agencies, including Story County, municipalities in Story County, and Iowa State University. They are designing the system to replace the current radio technology, which is proprietary. So being a proprietary technology, the interoperability of the radios are currently limited so that only Iowa State University Police, Ames Police, and the Story County Sheriff can currently interoperate their radios. But the other entities, such as cities, police departments, or fire departments that are part of the StoryCom project are currently not interoperable with each other.
The tower sites are specifically selected, these three sites, to provide coverage across the county, including in-building coverage. And they did look at co-locating this equipment on other towers within 1 mile of the sites, but there were no other towers within 1 mile of these selected locations to use for co-location. The three towers will all be lattice-type towers, galvanized steel. Lighting is proposed and required by the FAA. The towers will have dual lighting. From dusk to dawn, a top beacon will have a red flashing light with steady red side markers, again required by the FAA, and during the day it will flash white. The minimum setback requirement for towers is 150% of the tower height from the road right-of-way and residential parcels, and 50% of the tower height from other property lines. All setbacks are met by the proposed towers. I'm going to go through the towers individually now, the sites that they're on, their height, and adjacent properties. So the first tower before you this evening is CUP-03-20. It's a 255-foot tower, to be located in the southwestern portion of parcel 05-01-100-100. And this parcel is located at the southeast corner of 550th Avenue and 160th Street, which is northeast of Gilbert. The communication tower on this property will be 400 feet from the right-of-way line with 550th Avenue and 474 feet from the south property line and approximately 1,400 feet south of 160th. The site and most surrounding parcels are in agricultural use. There are three adjacent dwellings to the site. One is to the northwest and over 2,000 feet from the site. To the west, there are two dwellings that are closer to the tower. One is approximately 800 feet northwest of the tower site, and the second is about 600 feet southwest. The applicant indicated that they did work with the southwest dwelling's owner, and the tower location was selected because there's a substantial windbreak or trees there to provide screening from that dwelling. The applicant attempted to contact the Northwest property owner, but was unsuccessful. The Northwest property owner did provide a comment in opposition. I provided that written comment on the agenda center for your review, and they did also provide that comment as well the Planning and Zoning Commission yesterday. The applicant and staff met with the property owner on their site and discussed why the location was selected. It was actually originally planned for property inside the city of Gilbert, but there are site distance issues with the water tower in between Gilbert and Ames that made that location prohibitive. StoryCom's working group did discuss moving the tower location on this site. However, they found it wasn't feasible given terracing on the site and the farmers preferred location to minimize the impact of the agricultural operation on the site. StoryCom will be leasing all three of these sites, and so the surrounding area will continue to be farmed by the property owners. And so in this case, the site was selected to minimize the interference with the agricultural operations on the site. CUP-04-20 is the second tower before you tonight. This is a 285-foot tower to be located on the southwestern portion of parcel 15, 18, 100, 300. This parcel is located at the northeast corner of 620th Avenue and 305th Street, which is northwest of Maxwell. This communication tower will be 528 feet from both right-of-ways. Again, most surrounding parcels are in agricultural use. There are three adjacent dwellings. There to the west is the closest dwelling, which is approximately 700 feet away. There is one to the southeast, which is approximately 900 feet away. And there is one to the southwest, which is approximately 1,200 feet away. We did not receive any comments on this tower from the public. The third request is CUP-05-20, which is a 265-foot tower, to be located in the southeastern portion of parcel 03-25-300-200. This parcel is on 150th Street, and it is southeast of McCallsburg. The communications tower will be 398 feet from the right-of-way of 150th Street and 133 feet from the east property line. The east property line is a common property line with a parcel in agricultural production. So it's not a residential property or a right-of-way. So 50% of the tower height setback is required. There are two adjacent dwellings to this site. To the north is a single-family dwelling approximately 1,200 feet northwest, and to the west is a parcel with a dwelling approximately 2,000 feet from the proposed tower site. The owner of the property to the north submitted a comment in opposition to the tower, and again, StoryCom working group members and staff met with this property owner after receiving the comment. On this site, the tower is as far southeast from the dwelling as permitted by setbacks for towers. And this location was selected because there are wind turbines in the area, and they are approximately half mile north of the proposed site. So moving it closer to a wind turbine would create interference with the microwave paths. The Planning and Zoning Commission heard this request at a special meeting yesterday and concluded that all supplemental standards for communication towers are met, including setbacks and aesthetics, and they did recommend approval of all three towers. There are no recommended conditions, and the board may take action on each request separately, so a separate motion on each CUP for each tower. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for?
Yeah, so the last one that you were just mentioning, you said the two residents were 1,200 feet and 2,000 feet away?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, any other questions? If not, do we have a representative from StoryCom to give a presentation or to add anything to the to Amelia's presentation?
This is Rob Bowers, Iowa State University. I'd like to start off by thanking Amelia and the rest of the staff and the board. I think Amelia did a really great job, and I don't know that I have a lot to add. She also did a very thorough report for you that I'm sure you all have taken a close look at. So unless you have questions, I think we'll just answer any questions that you have and not take up a lot of your time by adding extra detail that is in the report or that Amelia already provided for you.
Any questions for StoryCom board? Hearing done. Comments from the public?
Yeah, hi, this is Andrew Friend. Sorry, I've been losing the session because I'm a little around. Is this about the PO320 at the current point?
Okay.
So we'll stop here in a minute so I don't lose the section. So I apologize if you're making my tutor in the background. So I'm the homeowner at 161175 in Berry City, which is northwest of the CUPO 3-20 signed by Gilbert. And I'd just like to say a few words. I don't know if you, I hope that you read through my comments. There's some nice pictures in there and such, but I just like to say I feel disadvantaged through this whole process. As noted, StoryCom team did reach out to our southern neighbors and actually moved the tower for them, which the new site to improve the view for my neighbors actually made it worse for me. And I do appreciate StoryCom trying to get a hold of me, but I feel like there could have been a little more effort, and maybe instead of leaving a business card, sending a letter in the mail, I just didn't know this was happening. So I still get advantage in that way. If my wife had been able to get a hold way in the beginning, we would have been talking right now. But so, our house is going to look right at the tower. I mean, there are no trees. There's not a single tree between the house and
our house and the tower. We just spent $230,000 to redesign our house to look towards the east and south, which is the tower location. And so I feel saddened and upset that my new addition on my house is going to look at a tower. There's that. I would, being an engineer, I understand the problems with the Lane project. I understand budget constraints, time constraints. This tower is already behind. I mean, one foot in the door, I understand. And I would say that I would just ask for a little more, one more meeting between myself, as the homeowner, Woodland Farms, the property owner, and StoryCom, and maybe Amelia, StoryCom Planning. Because I feel like if we can all meet together, including Woodland Farms, we can have a discussion about if there is really a better place to put that. Because I know that Woodland Farms said there is some impact in current farming practices, and I understand what they're saying. And so the question is, how do you balance the inconvenience of the homeowner's view of the property versus the inconvenience of the landowner's farming practices? And so I feel like if we can meet in person, along with our neighbors south of us, Rusty and Joe, to get everyone together, we can have a human face-to-face talk. And I feel like if we talk in person, we are more likely to understand each other's viewpoints and come away with a better, with a better understanding of what each other's needs are in the process. So I apologize for kind of scatterbrained here, but in conclusion, if you approve this tower, I propose that you approve it with the condition that StoryCom arranges a meeting with myself, our neighbors in the south, and Woodland Farms, Story County Planning, so that we can look at the property, the site, and just talk in person about any possible other places we could go. Because Woodland Farms is not about terraces, and I feel like there's a little misunderstanding of where the tower could go, because where I'd like to see the tower go, there are no terraces, right? So I would like to see an in-person meeting as a final conclusion of this project. So thanks for the ability to comment, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir. Other comments? Hearing none. Any other anything else you wish to add? Amelia, Jerry, StoryCom?
This is Amelia, and maybe Rob could address this better than I can. I guess to Mr. Friend's concerns, again, I think the farmer wanted the tower originally to be able to farm around, the compound area, and there are two terraces that they wanted to consider as well in laying out this tower. So that's why it's hard to move it north or south on the site. And then I think StoryCom had further conversations about moving it potentially east at their working group meetings. And they determined that this would really impact this improvement and the timing of it. I believe, and Rob, you can jump in here if this isn't quite correct, but you're going to be running on a temporary radio system by the end of the month. Is that correct?
That's correct, Amelia. We're losing our system that we've been on, the system from a private vendor, will come to end of life at the end of June, and We do have a temporary system that we can move to and that we've made arrangements to move to, but the goal is to get us off of that temporary system and onto the permanent system as quickly as possible so that we do not have to stay on that temporary system any longer than we have to, and that's one of the factors built into trying to get this done as quickly as possible and not delaying it. As far as the other parts of your question, you've done a really great job of summarizing those, but I think I'll ask Deputy Chief Tom Hackett from the Ames Fire Department to maybe expand on that just a little bit more, because I know he's been working with them and with the landowners up there.
Okay, this is Tom Hackett. Yes, sir, whenever you're ready.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Yes, this is Tom Hackett with the Ames Fire Department and representing StoryCom and the working group as well. I did have a couple of conversations with the landowner. We did discuss the north and south movement on the property. They were reluctant to move that direction, either direction, offered some consideration to the east side, and as Amelia said, it would pose some significant challenges for StoryCom, both in the construction as well as in the long run, due to a longer access drive, increased maintenance on the access drive. We'd have some additional water drainage issues to deal with as well. When we looked at all factors under consideration, we ultimately decided that the current location was the best place to go, considering both the long-term goals of StoryCom as well as the landowner's preferences in mind, too.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, we will close the discussion portion and deliberate. If I correct me, Jerry and Amelia, you want three separate motions on the three towers, correct?
Yes, please.
Okay, Board, what do you want to do?
I'm looking for the page where the three suggestions were, and I'm not finding it. I know.
To clarify that, so the Planning and Zoning Commission had a special meeting yesterday for this request. So the Planning and Zoning Commission yesterday, which isn't in that report you're looking at, Randy, because they hadn't made a recommendation when we had to post it, they recommended approval of all three and no conditions.
Okay. Are you looking for the alternatives page? Amelia, can you help Randy with that?
Yeah, I mean, I read the alternatives page, and then for some reason not finding that, because I think it would be helpful in regards to separating.
Let me pull up the page number here.
Which PDF? I'm trying to see here. Randy, I'm finding it at the very end of the... I know it's at the end.
I'm going to say that again, if you cut out.
I believe it's 16 is the page number.
Of the staff report PDF, the first PDF.
Yeah, it starts on page 16. So the separate one for 0320, 0420, and 0520.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Amelia, how does this differ from what, I saw that they were having a meeting yesterday. How does this differ from, because this doesn't actually say there's any restrictions or...
Right.
Requirements either.
Right. So staff recommended to the Planning and Zoning Commission that there were no conditions on the approval, that it was just approval as presented. And the Planning and Zoning Commission also recommended approval as presented without conditions to you all. The second alternative, you could, if you wanted to place conditions on the approval, you'd need to follow the second alternative, which is approval with conditions, and then formulate whatever those conditions would be.
Okay.
Because none were recommended.
Right, right. Okay.
Amanda, do you have any guidance with regard to how, what kind of condition that we could, if we propose a condition on the first tower, the one that's obstructing the view, what kind of condition would that entail? Another meeting or something like that?
Yeah. So if you're going to follow, not follow the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation, then you would need to, and we can go through, there's the findings of fact regarding compatibility and transition and environmental protection. You know those five typical standards for a conditional use permit? We'd need to relate that condition to one of those findings as to why it was necessary. So on page, in the staff report, looks like 8 is where those standards start for compatibility. And so if you found a meeting was recommended, as a condition, we'd need to say, to ensure that the tower is compatible with the zoning district in the immediate vicinity. The board recommends approval with the condition that the landowner and StoryCom property owner and staff meet to discuss the location and ensure that there are no other options or something like that. You probably also want to include what you're hoping to get out of that meeting, whether it's just a discussion or, if they're supposed to look at alternatives and, would that need to come back to you or if there's an alternative site that comes out of this, how do you want to deal with that?
Sometimes we get a comment from the assessor with regard to any impact on the property value. Do we have one in this case? I don't recall seeing one.
Let's see. The assessor's office didn't note that there would be an impact on the property values. They noted that the towers would be exempt from taxes because they are part of that 2080 intergovernmental public use kind of project. And that was their comment. And that's found in page 13.
But they did make a comment to, surrounding properties, views, and that kind of thing, how that might impact property value.
No, and they usually their only comment is that there are no impacts to property values. They didn't make a comment like that this time. They just commented that they'd be exempt. But they certainly didn't say that there would be an impact on property values.
And so, Matthew, this is Randy, but it does, from what I read, it does sound like, and heard even tonight from Rob, that they tried going north and or south and or east. So, I'm not sure where I would stand if you want to make, some type of a proposal, because I'm not sure where you would go from there. From what I understand, it meets, I would assume, Amelia, you could confirm that, it meets all the criteria that's currently out there from the distances.
Yes, the setback from that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Of this group is if it meets all of the requirements, mm-hmm. if it meets all of the stipulations that we have, we really don't have much of a choice as far as of not approving it.
That's kind of where I was going, yeah, because I'm not sure. I mean, I also, and I'm assuming others read the concerns of Cal Pearson on the CUP 05-20. But there again, from everything I could gather in the reading, it meets all the criteria, of course, because we've had two thorough boards examine that. And so, yeah, I'm not sure.
So, okay, here we are.
Yeah. So, I would move that we accept the CUP 05-20. As stated, without any other requirements.
Motion, do I hear a second?
Yeah, second.
Motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Brecky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. One down, two to go.
Matthew, you get 03, just in case you were wondering. you can also have 04, but...
Well, I will move that we accept CUP 20-03 as submitted. I know that that's difficult. I feel like we've had this before where it is disrupting a view, et cetera, but I think I agree with the others that we really are not in a position to not accept it.
We have a motion. Do I hear a second?
I would second that.
Motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Matthew, can I just ask for clarification? I think you said that you would approve the CUP. I think you said 20-03, but it should be 03-20. Can you just clarify that?
Yeah, it's a zero. Yes, you're correct. 03-20.
And Neubauer.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
And Brecky would move that we also accept CUP 04-20 as stated with no other requirements.
Wait a second.
Seconded.
Motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Brecky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. All right. That gives approval to those three.
You're going to get back to my agenda.
Thank you.
we are
out there in business, if that helps.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm looking for. We're having discussion over my equipment bailed out on me. There we go.
I think it's the update on part HF 2512.
Okay, here we are. Update on part HF 2512, impacting planning and zoning. Jerry, you and I have had some discussions about that. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, we did, Steve. And I also communicated too with our chair of our planning and zoning commission. House Law 2512 was signed by the governor. It went into effect June 1 of this year. And there's different components to it, but I'll primarily focus on the impact that it made to our planning and zoning commission members, as well as our board of adjustment members. It requires that all planning and zoning commissioners and board of adjustment members be eligible electors and reside within the area that's regulated by the county. It went into effect immediately. So immediately upon signing, it provides information about a time period of a year to actually make the changes. But what it means is, so for those planning and zoning commissioners and board of adjustment members in the county who live inside of the city are no longer eligible to serve in their capacity. And so what that effect has on Story County is we had three members who resided in the city of Ames on the Planning and Zoning Commission, which was our Planning and Zoning Commission Chair, Marvin Smith. He actually served a five-year term, and he was almost halfway through a second term. Jonathan Sherwood, I think, was serving, fulfilling an unexpired term, and Gina McAndrews was our newest member. But Jonathan Sherwood was our vice chair. So we lost a chair and a vice chair, and then a fairly new member for the Planning and Zoning Commission. We also lost Kelly Winfrey, who was fairly recently appointed by the board. So we lost a total of four persons. We have a seven-member body on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and we needed four members, and we were having some difficulty in obtaining the minimum number to have, you know, to obtain a quorum, to have a meeting. And so the Board of Supervisors took action on Friday, June 12, to appoint Wendy Schneider, who was appointed to the Board of Adjustment, but she actually indicated in her application when she applied that she was also interested in serving on the Planning and Zoning Commission. So she reached out when she heard about this because we communicated, you know, to those that we were losing. But she communicated to the board her interest in also serving on the Planning and Zoning Commission if the need arose. So on the 12th, the Board of Supervisors appointed her to the Planning and Zoning Commission. So the board also took action to direct staff to post the notice. It's on our website. There's different places where this information is available. And the requirement now that you need to reside in the unincorporated part of the county to serve on our Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment. And normally it's a 90-day process that we go through to allow time for persons, male and female, to submit applications for the boards and commission. And part of the goal is for gender balancing
to have an equal amount of representation with male, female. But I've been told that they're going to be looking at more of a shortened process in light of, what has occurred. I think we have, we had three females and one male. We actually had one male. Doug Moore decided to resign on the Planning and Zoning Commission, so now we have, I think, four females. So we're on somewhat of a fast track to appoint members for the Planning and Zoning Commission and for the Board of Adjustment. Because currently, the way it stands, we only have three of the five Board of Adjustment members. So it's absolutely essential that we have all three participate in our meetings. But again, I'm told that this is on the fast track. The board is taking information from persons who are interested. So if you know you work with someone or there's people in your neighborhood that you think might be interested and are up for the commitment that's involved in serving on the Board of Adjustment and or the Planning and Zoning Commission, please let either myself know, Stephanie, Sandra, who works for the board, or the Board of Supervisors themselves. And we'll direct them to complete an application. There's a full process that is involved that includes an interview process, one-on-one with the actual board supervisors. And then ultimately, it takes the full board to approve each of those appointments. So that's generally the law that was passed. We found out about it on June 2, and we had a meeting, a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on June 3. So it was there was a flurry. It was a flurry to respond to. We are members of the COZO, which is the County Zoning Officials Association, and on the 2nd, there was a flood of emails from members and, their interpretation of the law and how they were going to respond to it. So we read through those on the 2nd and on the 3rd. We also reached out to ISAC for an interpretation, as well as the county attorney's office. And, it went into effect immediately, which was, the law in itself is somewhat surprising. Some of the current law, the state law, and I'll call them bylaws, required a majority of the members to reside in the unincorporated areas to begin with. And so the balance, you could appoint from persons that reside inside cities. And when we're working on issues that affect cities or things close to cities, including like the Ames River Fringe Plan, I think it was somewhat of a benefit to have people who, lived inside Ames, lived in Nevada, what have you, because, they have unique perspective on things because they're living it. They're driving the traffic, they're experiencing the growth and the development that's occurring. So they offered somewhat of a unique perspective that I think was beneficial to the processes that we have in place. So unfortunately, we don't have that benefit anymore. So because of this huge impact, this affects all 99 counties in the state of Iowa. The Iowa State Extension actually just wrapped up their training, but because of this law, they are offering additional training starting in July. So we will communicate to the Board of Adjustment members, the current and future, as well as the current and future Planning and Zoning Commission members, this training schedule so that we can make that connection if you're interested in obtaining additional training from the Iowa State Extension. In addition to that, we are going to we're going to try to fill the void and provide additional information. I also had a discussion with Ethan Anderson from the County Attorney's Office, and they're willing to provide some input too about the role of the Board of Adjustment members and the role of the Planning and Zoning Commissioners. There's also some interest expressed by, I'll say, Planning and Zoning Commission members with regard to the processes and the communication that takes place with Planning and Development, our office, and the County Attorney's Office. So we want to provide some information to the Board of Adjustment and the Planning and Zoning Commission too about what we do to communicate these projects with the County Attorney's Office and the input that we receive for the things that we're reviewing. So I wanted to mention that as well. And I guess the last thing that I have is, Stephanie mentioned it, we are, the Board of Supervisors obtain a subscription to Zoom, and so they're currently using it for different things to take some practice with it. And after a public hearing on the 23rd at the Board of Supervisors meeting, the IT department here is going to offer some training. So it's very likely that our next meeting will be through the use of Zoom. So we're pretty excited about that. So we'll have this capability of showing documents like we did when we were in the boardroom, which is beneficial for the Board of Adjustment members as well as the general public to kind of see what it is that we're talking about. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions about House File 2512, you know, the impact of that, training, just any kind of questions that you have along those lines.
Yeah, we do need some additional members if we can get them. When you have three of us like this, we all have to be unanimous. And I know once in a while we may not all agree. So if you can think of anyone out there, Jerry, Matt, or Randy and Matt, it would be greatly appreciated.
Right, just have them get in touch with myself, Stephanie, Sandra, or the board members, and we'll get an application to them for the Board of Supervisors to consider.
Yeah, so Jerry, because of the way the law is written, are you saying that the effective immediately means like Martin Smith and Jonathan and so forth, they are like, they can't even vote or recruit or interview, they're just gone?
Yeah, effective June 1, because they reside in the city of Ames, they are no longer allowed to serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission.
So you have a year to replace them, but until then you could be very crippled.
Yeah, and you know, there's been several comments about the year to replace, because I mean this is a pretty substantial situation. It's very impactful, and no county's going to wait that long to, you know, to respond to the losses. And, you know, I mean, it's huge when you lose a chair and a vice chair. As I mentioned, Marvin served a full 5 years, plus he's on halfway through his second term. And so he provided, you know, additional input and perspective that maybe some of the newer members didn't have, and you know, he was a really good communicator, and really helped the commissioners to try to bridge the information that was being provided by staff. Had good questions, offered good direction, and so you know, it's hard to just replace that. You know, a lot of this comes from participating in the meetings, you know, month after month, reviewing a lot of cases, you know, to have that repetition and to, you know, learn from staff, to learn from the applicants, to ask questions, to learn from your colleagues, to learn from the other members. And so, like I said, he'd been on for like 7.5 years. So that's pretty valuable. It's valuable to the county, it's valuable to the other members, it's valuable to the general public. And all that's
all. So we have to So do they have to immediately then appoint a no chair and vice chair?
Yeah, they did that at their meeting yesterday. And then it's still through this year. And then the last meeting in December, a new member, a new chair, and a new vice chair for 2021.
Okay.
But yeah, you're talking about hundreds of people, you know, that were on planning and zoning commissions and board of adjustments that were just, you know, they're no longer able to serve. There's no transition period. So it was a
Is there any chance that something would change when they see the impact, like give you 90 days to get your ducks in a row before you say goodbye?
Well, I think the session's over, so it's likely something that will be brought up next session. But yeah, and then we're going to fill those positions. So, you know, I don't know, maybe there might be some opportunity if we're able to make some adjustments in this current law. But it's hard to know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, and the damage is already done. All right. Anything else to come before the board this evening?
That's all that I have. Amelia, do you have anything else?
No. Thank you all for calling in.
So next month, Amelia, we'll have another tower on our agenda?
You might. If the applicant takes their application off of hold. Yes. But if they don't, then there won't be another tower. There might be a variant.
Okay. All right. Then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And break 2 seconds.
All in favor, say goodbye by saying aye.
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 All right. Thank you, everyone.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Minutes and that sort of thing. If you want to scan them to me at State Bank, I will sign them and get them back to you.
Yep, I sure will. I'll do that in the morning.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, everyone.